I went to Sydney and went up Nile Magdiri to Port Moresby, flew over to Wau, and was working underground for New Guinea Goldfields.
What did that work involve?
Oh, with two or three natives with you, and they'd do the jackhammer work, and we'd just virtually supervise them. And we had little trucks, about 2'6" long, 2 foot wide, and about 3 feet high. We'd load them with a shovel and push them by hand. A friend of ours here is working on one of the big coal shows at Gladstone. They got trucks there carrying 380 ton. Times have changed, haven't they? Anyway, we went New Guinea, and when the Japs came south, they bombed Salamaua and Lae and Balola, and not Wau. The second time they got Wau, and everything stopped. Everything. And they run everyone past the doctor, and I was sick at the time, and I didn't pass. Everyone fit, they put in the local army. And we used to go in to Burns Philp, and Greenwood and Laws had the supermarket. In fact, Mr. Laws was the father of John Laws, the radio bloke. A wonderful bloke. Everyone admired him. A wonderful fellow. We had got a V8 car, I don't know where we got it from, and we used to go down to number 6 Ridge, and they had drums of petrol there and pinch the petrol. We only used to go in a way. We never used to race around the country with it. And we lived in a cedar house, and this house was built by Wilde, a German fellow, 3 generations. The poor bloke was interned during the war. He's more Australian than the Australians. And when the Japs bombed Salamaua and Lae, they flew the white women and kids out of Wau. There was a lot of Chinese there. They came there in the German occupation as coolies, and the numbers increased. And they sent a Lockheed Hudson to fly the Chinese women, and there were very few half-castes, not many, there's a few there. And have you ever been to Wau? The aerodrome is fan-shaped and slightly uphill. And at the top of the dome, there's a street, the Balola Hotel and warehouses, and the planes used to land at the bottom, taxi out, and they sent this Lockheed Hudson in. And this Chinese fellow had just bought a V8 car and learning to drive. And he drove it onto the dome. And everyone used to do it in those days. And anyway, they're busy pushing these women and kids on, and someone let out a yell, and they look around, and here's this car coming down towards it. He never left it in gear. He put the handbrake on and it slipped. It ran into the prop on the Hudson, and everyone started to abuse this poor Chinese. It was one of those unfortunate accidents that happened at the wrong time. His family were going away too. And the poor bloke, with tears streaming down his face, he was saying, "I'm so sorry, you can shoot me." And this Australian bloke, that angry he couldn't talk, raced up to him and kept shaking his fist at him, shaking his fist. And the poor Chinese, tears going down his chest, "Oh, you can shoot me, you can shoot me." And when this Australian bloke finally got his breath, shook his fist at him, he said, shoot you, you bastard. What's the good of shooting you now? We should have shot you yesterday." And everyone started to laugh. And then the registered magistrate, a Mr. Townsend, he shifted us from Wau up to Eddy Creek, 7,000 or 8,000 feet. Cold as charity, raining all the time, miserable. 1 feet a day, that's all we used to get. And he came up and they had a meeting. And we said, "Why did you hunt us out of Wau? A nice place, climate, up here." This is the exact words. I heard him say it. He said, "I've isolated you from the military. And when the Japanese come, I'm going to hand you over as prisoners of war." And these rough miners abused him in the filthiest language he'd never been talked back to in his life. He was an officer of the First World War and a resident magistrate. He went red in the face. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. And our bloke said, "We're going to walk out." He said, "You got no food." And a big dump at Kudjeru. He said, "Yeah, I'll put an armed guard on it," which he did. "You won't get it." And when he went back, we decided we'd make a start. And one of the fellows there was a fellow called Ted Taylor. He was very high in the administration, just below the administrator. A wonderful fellow. And Ted said to us, "If you fellows walk out," he said, "you're short of food, I won't see you go hungry." Now, what a wonderful fellow. The bureaucrats today would have a ton of stuff there and see you starve and laugh. Anyway, it took us about 3 or 4 days to get there, to Kudjeru, and we topped up. We had most of our stuff. There was 10 of us. We took to the bush, and there were quite a number of Finns up there. Wonderful people, the Finns. And Holger Ostrom, he took us down through Wau about 1 o'clock in the morning in this old truck, not making a noise, so Captain Townsend wouldn't know we were going through. And Bill Tracy was virtually the leader. And Bill was a mate of the Leys. You heard of the Leys? And he used to fly out to Mount Hagen, 1,000 of these wild natives around. Bill had a glass eye and false teeth. He'd take his glass eye out, roll it around his hand, put it back and look at them, take his false teeth out and smell them, and they thought Bill was supernatural. Anyhow, he was virtually our leader.